You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to Gimme Shelter. I am your host and team leader, Jill Sullivan Gruder. I've got JB Byrne, our project leader, Drew Davis, our jack of all trades, and of course our English bloke, Simon McAllister, our master electrician. We're so excited to have you along with us on our journey as we talk about what it takes for us to renovate animal rescues across the country that are in desperate, desperate need. We find the money, we find the manpower, and somehow we make it all happen. This is Gimme Shelter. We are going to take a quick break, but we promise to be right back with Gimme Shelter right after these messages.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Buster, you're telling me my dog food products can't go on your shelves?
That's right. Didn't pass one of my Petco certified nutrition checklists. Sorry, Wayne.
Who made these checklists?
Geniuses. Very smart guys.
Well, it's good enough for most grocery stores.
Do you see cheese puffs on my shelves? Mayonnaise? Soda pop?
No.
That's because I ain't running no grocery store, Wayne. Your pets will get better nutrition, I guarantee it. Petco, where healthy pets go.
Enter the code LUCKY10, L-U-C-K-Y, the number 10, and get 10% off any order. No minimum at Petco.com.
Whether they're big, small, hairy, or whatever, you're going to need gear for your feet. And Kids Foot Locker's got all the great shoes and gear that'll get you in the game.
Go to kidsfootlocker.com and enter the code AFPLR1KF to get 10% off any order of $50 or more. Or enter the code AFPLR2KF to get 15% off any order of $75 or more at kidsfootlocker.com.
And cover those funky feet.
FTD's network of over 40,000 florists around the world have been creating beautiful handcrafted arrangements for 100 years. Each arrangement is delivered the same day and backed by FTD's 7-day satisfaction guarantee. For a century, people have trusted their most important occasions to the flower experts at FTD.
Since Pet Life Radio is all about puppy dogs and flowers, our listeners, that's you, can get a 20% discount on your order. Just go to florop.com and use the code LUCKYS20 at checkout. FLEUROP.com. Code word LUCKYS and the number 20.
When you're looking to add a pet into your life, consider adopting a homeless animal from your local shelter or rescue group. Whether you want a kitten, puppy, or a more mature pet, a purebred or a one-of-a-kind mixed breed, even a rabbit or hamster, your shelter has the best selection of animals anywhere, all screened for good health and behavior. PetLifeRadio.com presents Take Me Home with your host, Susan Daffron. Join us each week as we showcase wonderful pets, tell stories, and even throw some pet education into the mix. So get ready to find out why the pet adoption option can be a great way to add a furry companion into your life. Take Me Home every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
I'm Jill Sullivan Gruder.
JB Byrne.
Simon McAllister.
Andrew Davis,
the other one. This is our second podcast, and we're really excited about it. This is going to be a really good one, I think, today. What do you guys think?
Should be good.
Yeah, it's going to be excellent.
Yep. We have the group from Lucky's Legacy. They're currently on hold and very excited to talk to us. That's the place that we did our first renovation in Epping, New Hampshire. They're a horse rescue, and they rescue horses from abuse, neglect, slaughter, everything. And they were in horrible, horrible need.
Oh, awful.
Yeah.
You know, I got to go back down there this weekend.
Oh, you did?
I did. I went, I haven't been back there much since our project, but I had a lot of furniture going through the cabinet shop this past week, and so I took a bunch of bags of all clean sawdust from what we were making, took my kids, piled them up in the truck, and went down and brought them a bunch of sawdust. They need lots of donations. The shavings, actually not sawdust, but shavings and hay cost them quite a bit through the year.
Yeah.
So if I can, you know, keep bringing them lots of that, I will. But
they must have loved it.
Yeah, and it was nice to get to see the place. And there were new volunteers, didn't even know who I was.
No kidding.
So yeah, at first I was just a person showing up.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, giving you some shavings. And then, I got to talk to them, some of the new people. It was nice, and see some of the new horses. They actually have some that you can ride now.
I know, isn't that awesome?
Yeah, and I told my 8-year-old daughter that these horses aren't, you really can't ride them.
Yeah.
And then when we get down there, the volunteer said, oh, you should come back and go for a ride.
Oh, so now you're definitely
so, yeah,
going.
Yeah, so we'll definitely be bringing back some more shavings.
Oh, that's such a great place, you know. I love it. I wanted to give all the listeners an update on the Greyhound Rescue, too, while I'm thinking about it. For me, for what we're doing right now is we're looking for sponsors, right? So, I mean, we're kind of hitting the phones and email and all that kind of stuff and really looking
for... Big or small.
Yes, big or small.
Nothing ever too small.
That's right. And so I reached out to a few companies this week, and we'll have to see. We've got to get a couple of those monetary sponsors in, but things are looking great with Home Depot, and a few of us went over to the rescue this past weekend and talked with Marilyn, the president over there, and I know Simon found a few things wrong.
Just a few. A couple of fire hazards and a couple of bombs waiting to go off. Yeah. Yeah, the place is in serious need of some help.
Yeah.
So we need to really knuckle down and get some people out there to give some help, money, anything. Chocolate, gifts.
Anything.
Just help.
Yep, they definitely.
I think really needs it.
Wasn't there like a hose with a wire?
Yeah, there was some sorts.
Well,
yeah.
You know, the tree branch through the roof lets water in.
Yeah.
And you have ceiling lights.
Yeah.
And you have, you know, an old wiring.
Just electrical. It's just an accident.
And they don't know. You know what I mean? Like, they're just doing the best they can.
No, they're tunnel vision, taking care of those dogs.
That's the thing, right.
That's it. They've got, you know, that's the thing. And that's the thing for all these, that, you know. Lucky's Legacy, that's, you know, they were in the same situation. Let's take care of the horses.
That's
right. Everything we can do to take care of the horses.
Yep.
That's right.
And everything else around winds up, suffering. And it's not their fault. They're doing everything they can.
Right.
It's because they're selfless.
Yeah.
And
that's
when
right.
you're selfless like that, there should be other people that are out there, including us, that are willing to go the extra mile to go and try to help them take care of the things that they can't take care of.
Right.
Things that they can't do themselves physically because, like JB said, that they have tunnel vision and they're out to take care of these animals. So
yep.
Whatever we can do to take care of those things, like Simon seeing all the electrical hazards that are there alone in a short amount of time when he came through the door. So I'm sure there's plenty of stuff that can be taken care of. So it's going to be a big renovation.
Yeah, we're really excited about that. Should we get the ladies on?
Yes.
Let's do it.
All right. We just did a little introduction so everyone knows about you. And so we have Melissa Coe on the phone, and she is the president of Lucky's Legacy. And we have Beverly Hansen and Laura Ladd, and they are wonderful volunteers over there. So you guys, thank you so much for being on the call with us today.
Thanks for having us, Jill. Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit. Do you guys want to give us a little bit of an intro about what Lucky's Legacy is and all the great things that you're doing over there?
Keep in mind, this is going to go out to everybody we can get it to. So, you know, what you guys do, what you guys need, and feel free to give away any information that you have.
Sure. So what we do at Lucky's is that we're a rescue and retirement facility for horses. So we take in abused and neglected horses from various situations. Sometimes, most recently, they have been from, you know, the state animal control surrenders, neglect cases. We do have some owner surrenders due to financial issues. And we have retirees that simply have, you know, advanced medical problems that really aren't available for adoption to normal homes, so we keep them with us. We have 17 horses at the facility right now.
Wow.
That's kind of a lot, from varying degrees, from 5-year-olds to, I don't know, how old? 27, I think.
Who's the oldest?
Well, Dan is right now, but Willie is, I would say, close to the oldest. He's probably 22, 23.
Wow.
So that's the short gist of what we're doing over there right now. And basically what we do is we take in the horses who have been abused and neglected. We rehab them. We evaluate them. We try and get them trained under saddle or whatever job it may be, driving. And then we're looking to rehome them, which is really the biggest thing, is that we really need people who are willing to adopt horses. And the great thing about right now is we actually have a lot of really nice, adoptable family horses who are healthy and just waiting to get out there.
That's my great. My daughter was trying to strong arm me into bringing one home last weekend.
Oh my goodness, that would be so awesome.
I don't have a paddock yet, so
just build one.
But he has the ability.
Got a really good sunroom, though.
You can have a barn.
Yeah. New addition just put on.
Yeah, good boy.
So that's what we're doing over there now. Basically, we're just continuing to work with typically through Department of Agriculture and local town animal control. We've also been doing some work rescuing horses from auction who are potentially on their way to slaughter. So we've also been able to pull 3 horses from auctions in New Jersey who otherwise would have gone to a much worse place. We did that this summer, and one has gone to her forever home already, and the other 2 are 5 years old and really healthy and just waiting for the perfect family to come and pick them up. Jamie, I think Lady might be the one.
Hey, Melissa, Drew has a question for you.
Hey, sure. Hi, Melissa. Hey, I was wondering, 2 things. Number 1, the first question is, does it matter when you're trying to adopt these out, the breeds, if there's a difference in what they need or what their attitude might be or how you handle them? And secondly, what was the cost to go down to New Jersey to go rescue these horses?
Well, okay, so question 1, I guess, is every horse is different. I mean, even Bev, you could probably speak to this too, maybe even possibly better than I can. But every breed is different. So typically, if you have thoroughbreds, which we have some thoroughbreds, some of them are very hard keepers, which means, they require a lot of food. They have a high metabolism. They tend to be a little more go-getters.
Well,
whereas, drafts, the large breeds, just like dogs, kind of gentle giants, don't really require a lot of as much grain. They're kind of considered easy keepers. So sometimes you'll find that, you'll see a skinny thoroughbred, it eats 7 times the amount of a giant draft horse. I guess that's kind of the answer to the first question. But as far as abilities go, it really depends on the horse, I would say. More so than the breed for the most part, unless you're talking about a large draft horse who probably isn't going to be doing eventing.
Right. There are larger horses that can event, but like Melissa said, the larger the breed, they tend to be more, they were the farm horses back in the day. They were the ones who plowed the field, who pulled the trees out of the woods. So they're big and they're a little more grounded than, say, a thoroughbred who was bred for, with the races. They're thoroughbreds. They're high-spirited, high energy, and because of that energy, it's, like Melissa said, they can be difficult to keep, and they're also maybe a little more, at times, flighty than...
Right. Yeah.
Than a different breed, a quarter horse, an Appaloosa.
Or like a little more like quarter horses, like the middle of the road, could make a great trail horse. It could make a great 4-H pony. It's kind of a breed that can do a little bit of everything.
I saw you had, did you have a little Shetland over there as well? Or are there different kinds of the small breed?
A what?
Was it a Shetland pony that you had over there? Or we got a small pony?
We have a Hosslinger, the blonde.
Yes.
I'll call her the blonde.
I think Diablo we're talking about.
Yes, Diablo. I remember the name, yeah.
Actual miniature horse, not a Shetland pony.
Okay.
So there is a difference. A Shetland pony is a little bit, I would say, significantly bigger than Diablo. Yeah, he's a mini. And actually, if you had a small child, he actually rides and drives. He can pull a car.
That's what I heard.
A car?
A cart.
Oh, a cart.
A cart.
I was like, wow,
not
that's
a car. No, yeah. Not a car. He can't pull a car, but he can pull a small cart, and, you know, little kids could ride him, like six and under. How old are your kids, Shitty?
8 and 3. And
he'd be perfect.
The 8-year-old.
And he's sweet
is tiny.
As pie.
She's small.
All he wants is love.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he loves to be petted and scratched. He actually hit Diablo and Katie, who is a thoroughbred, but she's actually a contrary to what we were just saying, she's actually a very, very relaxed thoroughbred. No spookiness, has a really great demeanor. Both of them were, they're our most recent arrivals. They came about probably 60 days ago, maybe 2 months ago, through animal control up in Ware, New Hampshire, where they were, you know, removed from their home and surrendered to us. And they've been doing great, actually. Sunday we had an open house, and Katie was saddled up and, you know, rode all around the property and, you know, had a great time. Kids petting her. She's a really, going to make a little girl a really, really nice horse.
Yeah, she's a great girl.
I guess that's kind of, I don't know, does that answer your question about the breed?
Yeah, I was just curious, you know, on that with the smaller horse.
Yeah, and as far as the auction horses go, it depends. There's a process that happens. Basically, the great thing about, well, as you guys know, the internet is that you're able to connect with so many people. So what's happened is that all across the country, basically every week, there are different auctions. Many of them are, you know, fairly large, sometimes 200 horses, sometimes it's only 30 to 50 horses. But basically what happens is that private buyers and kill buyers, which is, you know, the people who buy for meat, go to the auction and they bid on horses. The horses that aren't purchased at the actual live auction go into what we call a feedlot, a kill pen, number 10, whatever it is, and basically their fate's determined because nobody has purchased them. So chances are, you know, they're getting on the truck typically a day or 2 days later, and they're going to be shipped off.
That's
to slaughter. Yeah. So what's happened is, with this whole internet thing, and Facebook especially, is that all of these people have gotten together and they've said, like, these ladies who run a rescue in New Jersey, they're able to attend an auction in New Jersey. So what they do is they've gone, they take pictures of all the horses who are going to the feedlot, and basically we have 24 hours to network for those horses to either try and find them private homes, which is obviously the best possible solution, or to purchase them and have them shipped to the rescues, which is really great. So it depends. A horse can go for, sometimes horses go for $50. Sometimes they go for $10. Sometimes they go for, you know, $150 to $300, depending on their abilities. The actual cost to purchase the horse at the auction, obviously, as we all know, is really the least of the troubles. The transport, you know, from New Jersey to here, which we actually work with transporters, you know, that's fairly significant, depending on a transporter, anywhere from $250 to, you know, $600 to have horses shipped up this way. And then you have no idea where the horses come from for the most part, you know, so you got to do the whole vet evaluation. Everybody needs their shots. They have to stay in quarantine for 30 days. You have to watch them. They can't have contact with anybody else just to make sure they're not carrying any diseases. It's quite a process, but the great thing about it is that, like this particular auction in New Jersey, since November of 2009, no horses at that auction have been shipped. There were all these rescues that work together.
That's great.
You know, up and down the East Coast have been able to facilitate and find homes for all these horses.
That's
a really important point that I think people don't understand. They think that all horses going to slaughter or auction, you know, are old or neglected or broken down or thin, and they're not. You know, we have a beautiful 5-year-old standard bred who was a trotter off the track, and she's got a personality. I mean, her demeanor is fabulous. You know, she's going to make somebody a great horse. And I don't know, I can't remember exactly what we paid for Lady, but, you know, it wasn't that much money. No. So it's,
Melissa,
you know,
that,
I think that's like a really important point. The cost is pretty, you know, once you get through everything, probably $1,000 to $1,500 per horse to get them out and bring them up here, get them vetted and evaluated.
Wow.
But I think the important point about the whole thing is that those horses can live very happy lives. They're not 30-year-old horses who are broken down.
My own horse was put up for auction, and she was put up for auction when she was six, and nobody, she had gone from auction to auction from Iowa until I found her, and she had turned seven, but nobody had registered her or claimed her, and she was only 7 years old when I got her.
Is that considered?
Yeah, there's a lot of great horses. There's a lot of nice horses.
Is seven young for a horse?
Misconception that people have. They think, oh, it's not a big deal to slaughter all these horses. It's, you know, they're old, they're ready to die, whatever. That's not really the case.
The killing of any animal is wrong. Simon was going to ask about the cost of adoption and how you go about that with you guys. If somebody was interested in what kind of cost they're looking to incur, it probably obviously depends on the animal, but...
Mm-hmm. It depends on the ability of the horse. The one thing we typically try and do is not make any adoption fees that would be less than what you are able to get for a meat price, because that's where, you know, when you see horses listed for free,
right?
Very dangerous to list your horse for free or for below meat value, even though many rescues have great intentions and they think they're adopting their horses to wonderful people, you know, you just never know. So we always try and keep our adoption prices at least above that. Typically, they run anywhere for $250 for a horse that maybe is only a pasture pal or can do light trail riding, and, you know, up to $400, $500, $600, depending on their abilities and how much, you know, training we've actually put into them. We do ask, obviously, for some sort of adoption fee for all horses, because that's how we try and recoup, you know, the money that we've put out, which typically we only get a half to a third of what we've actually put into the horse back, if we're lucky. But typically they run from $250 to, you know, $600.
Where do you make up the difference in price from what you get for the adoption fee and what you've put out?
Basically, that all comes from private donations and our own fundraising and grant writing. That's how we make up every other penny that is put into the organization.
Well, Melissa, quick question for you. So it seems like there's a lot of cost involved to run Lucky's Legacy, obviously. And I know that you guys are definitely not in it to make money at all, but to save the horses. But, when we first showed up there, there was a lot of stuff that you needed help with. I mean, Simon can attest to it that there wasn't even power to the paddocks.
Right.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, what life was like before the renovation and some of the struggles you'd faced?
I hope Beverly didn't have to lug a hose 100 or 200 feet this winter.
That's right. Did that happen at all, Beverly?
No.
Yay!
No.
Those little...
I gotta tell you, this winter has probably been the easiest winter, and Bev and Laura can probably attest to this as well. This is the easiest winter I have ever spent on that farm.
That is awesome.
And I don't know, I may not be as strong as I've been in the past because I actually don't have to do as much manual labor with lugging buckets.
However, it is
very nice.
So those buckets, Bev, you just work then?
You know, it's funny, I was just saying to somebody the other day, I was like, oh God, I remember when Bev and I used to be there on Saturday mornings, and Bev at that time, I don't know, there was probably 23 horses, maybe. And we had to lug every single 5-gallon bucket to every single paddock. You know, it's 11-acre property. That's a lot of lugging.
And it was just, I've been there 8 or 9 years volunteering, and this was, and since the renovation, it was the first winter when it would be snowing or blowing, and I wasn't worried that bad things would happen to the roof of the barn.
I know, that's what I was going to say, too. It's the first year that we haven't had to have a tarp hanging in the back of the barn, either, with a giant puddle inside it to protect the hay.
And the stalls would all be wet, rained or snowed. What you did, guys, was just such an absolute blessing to the horses and those that work with them.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I can't even tell you. Like, having water to all of those paddocks is
I mean, it's absolutely the most phenomenal thing that I think has ever happened there, and electricity, obviously.
Yeah, electricity for the trucks, absolutely. And how?
Yeah, because what's happening is, I mean, you guys, in the wintertime, like, we would spend all that time lugging water out there to those buckets. We'd have extension cords running all over the property trying to keep the trough heaters going. And really, we still spent most of our time out there not only lugging water, but chipping ice out of them.
Sledgehammering ice.
I mean, it used to be, seriously, like a four-hour morning, would you say, Bev?
Easy.
Yeah.
I'm there now.
Pretty much every morning and in and out in, I mean, 2.5 hours. On the worst winter days.
That's awesome.
Excellent.
Even on the worst winter days.
And not lug in that hose. Remember, Gil, how long the hose was when you first...
We had like four hoses attached to each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Dragging that hose all the way down to Ice's paddock. I mean, that...
And the water like trickled out at the end because it had so far to go.
Didn't you hurt your back? Because, and I'll explain this for other people, that you'd wrap the end of the hose where the water comes out around your waist and then walk
I had back surgery like 12 years ago. So the hose was so long and so heavy that the only way I could get it down to the paddocks was to wrap it around my waist and just run it. It was, I just can't say enough about the renovation, and the process was just, it just made our lives so much easier, and the horses, because...
Yeah, it makes it so much easier, too, for us to concentrate on the actual care of the horses. Like, we are able to put our resources, you know, into the horses rather than... being so exhausted after working, you know, 4 or 5 hours in the morning just to get morning chores done, that, you know, now we have the chance to do, you know, evaluating and riding the horses and getting them prepared to actually go out into new homes. I mean, that's really the huge thing. It's really just opened up a world of resources for us.
We were saying that earlier, actually, that... by us wanting to do this for so many other shelters, it gives people like you the chance to spend the time with the animals and do the real stuff that you need to do and not do...
Exactly.
And lighten the load of the remedial work that is there. It's a backbone thing, but it definitely, I think that's one of the real upside things I think is really cool about us doing this stuff is the fact that we can help out people, and then they spend more time with the animals, and that's what the animals need. The animals need the attention, so I think we have a place.
Even financial resources, I mean, can you imagine, because seriously, we really were, like, before you guys did the roof, I mean, we really needed to look at having that roof done. I mean, it had really become a major problem with it leaking in every area of the barn almost. So can you imagine if we had to hire somebody to come out and do that barn, the amount of financial resources we have to spend on that, which is taken away from, you know, our vet bills.
Okay, everyone, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back to continue talking to the wonderful volunteers at Lucky's Legacy. We'll be right back after these messages.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Love your pets but wish their medications were a lot less expensive? They are at 1-800-PetMeds. You'll not only save on flea and heartworm medications, but on prescriptions for arthritis, incontinence, thyroid, and more. And you get fast service, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, our licensed pharmacists ensure accuracy, monitor drug interaction, and more. See why over 5 million people have trusted their pet's health to 1-800-PetMeds, America's largest pet pharmacy. Call now or order online.
Go to PetMeds.com/Lucky, L-U-C-K-Y, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more at PetMeds.com.
At Petco, we really love pets. There isn't anything we won't do to make sure they're getting the best products and the best care. So when you ask us a question like,
so how do you feel about cat condos?
We can say from experience,
feels like home for her.
Enter the code LUCKY10, L-U-C-K-Y, the number 10, and get 10% off any order. No minimum at Petco.com.
Like your business to reach out and invite in our audience. We have a brand new trademark concept called InfoSeeds. InfoSeeds are short 20-second seeds of information about your place of business, practice, or service. It's the best, most cost-effective way to invite us in. We only have a limited number of slots left. For more information, visit the website
PetLifeRadio.com.
Click on sponsorship information. There you can listen to a sample of InfoSeed. Remember, only a limited number of opportunities are available.
Stop what you're doing and start horsing around. Every week on Pet Life Radio, horse expert and award-winning rider Audrey Pavia will be trotting out great tips on feeding, breeding, and more on everything equestrian. So set a spell and say hey to Audrey and get ready for a darn tootin' galloping good time. Every week on Horsing Around, on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
How many thousands do you think?
That renovation was, that would have been $40,000, $50,000 worth of people and then labor.
Right.
I mean, labor and materials. I think we were over $10,000 in material and every bit of labor.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, I'm thinking about like Melissa and Bev and Laura and what you guys are saying about the cost of, you know, your adoption fees really aren't that high. It's not, you know, you are relying on donations to come in. I mean, it seems almost virtually impossible for rescues like yourself to be able to afford these things. So my question is, you know, if Project Positive wasn't able to come in and we didn't fix the roof and add the, I mean, what would you have done?
A lot of tarp. A lot of investment in tarp.
A lot of suffering, I guess, is the right thing. But, you know, and that's the whole thing. Like, you know, you just kind of get through it every day because the most important thing is taking care of the animals. You kind of deal with all of those things, even though it really makes life miserable and, you know, it's not the best thing, but you can't really put your financial resources there because, I mean, you guys know. You know how hard it is to raise even $10,000,
yep.
$20,000, $30,000 for a small nonprofit. If we had to raise that amount of money and put that into barn renovations, it would essentially cripple us, probably.
Yep, I agree.
So, I mean, that's what happened here, is that you saved, you know, you saved the place.
Yeah, you saved us.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's essentially what it comes down to. Without the renovation, I mean, I'm not sure that
we would be here today.
Yeah, I'm really not. I mean, it's made a huge difference, and it's allowed us to bring in so many more horses because now we put our financial resources into them and not into those repairs, which allows us to say, you know, animal control in Ware calls us, hey, can you guys take these two horses? Yes, absolutely. We're there. You know, rescues all over the state right now, especially, I mean, you guys know, I think it's probably with a lot of rescues, but especially with horses over the winter, I mean, they're jam-packed, and we've been very lucky because we've been actually one of the only rescues through the winter besides, you know, in New Hampshire, SPCA, that have really been able to take in a significant number of horses, and that's because we have a wonderful facility now.
Well, it was our pleasure to help you.
Yeah, and of course volunteers. Tons of volunteers. We could not do this without, I mean, we have the most amazing dedicated volunteers on the planet. I mean, we have people who come out, it's 15 below zero, there's 3 feet of snow on the ground, nothing is plowed, and they're there at 7:30 in the morning.
Wow, that's amazing.
You know, I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Christmas morning or New Year's Eve, it doesn't matter, you know, we're there every day.
Right.
Seven.
Where can people learn more about Lucky's Legacy and how they can help? You know, I mean, our podcast does go out, you know, across the U.S. and more, so I mean, can you give everyone your website address and maybe some things that you need and all of that kind of good stuff? Laura, I know you're the queen of all media.
I'm the queen of, I have no shame. I'll beg for anything and I don't mind at all. I have no problem saying, you know, empty your pockets. So most importantly, we have a really great website, like Melissa was saying, and it is luckyslegacy.org. We are on Facebook. We are on Twitter. And everything on our website will tell you how, you know, we have a wish list, where you can donate, you know, the happenings, because I happen to be the one that takes care of all the fabulous events that we do, from pub calls to gold parties to dinner theater to Red Sox raffles, many horse shows, we all yard sales. We have so many events, thankfully, and everything you can find is right on luckyslegacy.org.
I am going to put in a plug for one thing, just in case there's anybody out there listening, because you never know. We need a tractor so desperately.
Yes, please. Yes.
And so I know it's like one of those big things, and it's been on the wish list for like a long time. But anytime I ever talk to anybody, I'm always like, I know it's a big thing, but you never know if somebody's going to know somebody who has an older tractor or whatever. I mean, we really need a tractor.
Don't you have that little blonde horse?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I have to put it out there. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, it's unbelievable. I mean, we have
draft horses.
I mean, yeah. I am driving around in the summertime like a 1962 lawnmower, which, thanks to a friend of Laura, works fairly well.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
but I mean, let me tell you.
Yep.
That would be tough.
Well, we'll make sure to put a plug on our Facebook page as well for you guys. And you know, I know there's a ton of animal lovers out there, so you never know. And we will definitely keep you updated with that if anyone contacts us or contacts you directly.
Oh my God! Thank you guys so much. You all are absolutely fabulous.
Well,
I am.
We try.
Yeah, we're absolutely thrilled that you came into our lives.
You know what? It's our pleasure, and I got to say, you know, meeting you guys has really changed our lives and really made us who we are today. So we appreciate that.
It was complete
karma.
Thank
you very much. We totally appreciate it, too.
Oh, thanks, guys. This is a nice little love fest we got going on here.
Oh, my God. We're having a podcast hug.
Oh, a podcast hug. We love it. We love it. Well, we will let you ladies go. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. And we know JB will be down there, I'm sure, with more of shavings, and we get down there to see all the horses and stuff. But we love you guys, and we'll see you guys soon. Hey, I hope to be at that pub crawl too.
Oh my God, you better.
Yep. We know how to find you.
All right.
All right, take care.
All right,
take
see you guys.
Care, see you.
All that you've done for us.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks, guys. We appreciate it. Nice talking to you all tonight.
All right,
yeah,
talk nice to you talking. Soon.
Take care now. Bye bye.
Thank you.
Bye bye now.
Well, that was a little hard with the speakerphone. We're going to have to come up with another...
Yeah, that was a little tricksy.
Yeah. Simon, that was a good one, though. What was the last word you just got in?
What's that? We try.
We try. That was very good. Yes. Well, Lucky's Legacy is definitely awesome. That was quite the experience.
Yeah. I think that it goes to show that what they said reinforces what we just talked about earlier, and that is the fact that given the chance to go help these people, we can alleviate those worries and those things that are more so out of their control, immediate control, and they'll have to put out fires, and they can spend more time doing what they really do best. And like JB said, like the tunnel vision of just, you know, taking care of the animals,
I'm just so glad to hear Bev didn't have to drag that.
I know you were very concerned about that. Yeah, as you should be. But
she's working to the point of being injured.
I know.
It was just the as I said before. I think I mentioned in our first podcast that, you know, my goal is always, what can we do to make like these headaches go away?
Right.
And when we were with Jeff Chittister, we talked about this.
Yeah.
On New Hampshire Perspective, and it was just, if we can make their headaches of taking care of the place go away, they can help more animals, they can take on more adoptions, yep. they can do more. And You know, if they're preventing every horse from this one New Jersey auction from going to
slaughter,
I know, that's unbelievable.
That's a home run.
I know.
You know, it was you know, if that barn fell apart, that I don't know how many horses they'd rescue they would have had to find someplace else to go.
Right. It's nice to hear how things are going after the renovation. Yeah. You know, yeah.
And to know that everything that you did actually did work and make a difference and help, especially right. things like Simon did to make sure that they could actually have power to the paddocks
to be able to, top things that could have been done completely.
And that's a lot of work. And I mean, the whole point is it's all done because we all love to do this kind of thing.
Take for granted, and just small things like that you don't think help.
And they're so appreciative, yeah.
And it's the things that we all do from day to day in our trades, you know. As tradesmen, it's like nothing, you know. It's
just, right.
Take a little time out to help others.
That's right.
It goes a long way.
That's right. Well, our next podcast, we got to think about that. We are going to be talking to possibly Marilyn from the Greyhound Rescue, and possibly maybe Renee from Home Depot. We got a lot of things going on, so we got to figure out which one we want to pull out of our hat next. Yep. So
I took a little visit to Kachiko.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yes.
Maybe for that, I'll let you know more about that.
That would be great. Yeah, we will definitely talk about that.
Spend some time with them down there. They're
another rescue people that needs our help.
Yeah, don't know Kachiko.
Yep. And Jill, how'd that come about to you? Someone that you...
Yeah, this was a really interesting story. So I would say, how long ago now was it? Like a month, probably?
It's almost two months.
I was contacted by a local radio station in the Seacoast, and they wanted me to come on and talk about like resume writing, because I'm a copywriter by trade, and so... You know, I was on there and I was talking about copywriting and all that kind of stuff, but I said, I really want to talk about this project that I'm so passionate about. I want to talk about Project Positive. So they let me talk about Project Positive for a good 20 minutes. The woman who was on before me that they had on works in social media. And it's actually a really neat story because she got to hear everything that we're doing at Project Positive. And she had contacted me through email and all that kind of stuff. Well, what's happened since then is we've collectively inspired her to sort of go out and try to help her local rescue in need. So, you know, she has obviously, you know, talked to us about it and wanted to reel us in because we have the background and the experience that, you know, that she needs. But it was just really neat to hear that she's going to try to do something in her community, which, I mean, is really part of this whole revolution that we're starting. So we'll keep you updated on that. That will be another... another exciting thing for us to be involved in before the big renovation at the Greyhound Rescue this summer. So I feel like I've rambled.
You didn't ramble. That was great.
Well, we had a lot to talk about.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And again, you can go to our Facebook or our website, and that's Project Positive, PAWSITIVE.com. In our Facebook, and if you'd like to make donations, you want to pitch in and help, or you want to sign up to be a volunteer, you have a local shelter that is in desperate need, you know somebody that has medical bills for their animal and they can't afford to do it and they're living on a, you know, limited budget, we all know how important animals are in our life. So if you want to contact us, that'd be very awesome.
And doing
some monies. All right.
Checks are welcome.
Big sponsors. We need big sponsors.
Yeah, we do. All right, guys. Well, we will talk to you very shortly. I hope you enjoyed this podcast.
Take care.
Ta-ta.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.